Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says there is evidence that the Chinese regime is trying to influence this year's race for the White House. Hear his assessment of the situation.
Any interference by China in our election is something that we're looking very carefully at and is totally unacceptable to us.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen condemning China's export dumping as cheap goods flow into global markets. She warns Beijing that nothing is off the table to tackle the behavior. TikTok breaks its silence on its American ultimatum, divest or be removed from U.S. app stores, as a new law aims to separate the app from its Chinese influence. And Beijing tripling its eyes in the sky. How spy satellites could give Beijing an edge if the Chinese regime decides to invade Taiwan? Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Before we turn to today's top story, we'd like to share an announcement. We're releasing a special report this Saturday to mark the anniversary of a major event in China. 25 years ago this week, 10,000 people practicing a Chinese meditation system called Falun Gong gathered peacefully in Beijing. The event, seen as the trigger of a brutal persecution campaign that continues till today. What really happened, and how did Beijing's crimes against humanity escalate to forced organ harvesting? Here's a sneak peek. The world first heard of Falun Gong 25 years ago. On April 25, 1999, 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners gathered in front of Zhongnanhai, the home and office compound of the Chinese leader. The spiritual meditation practice teaches the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, and was first released to the public in China in 1992. 7 years later, it had growth so popular that the Chinese Communist regime deemed it a threat. 3 months after that peaceful demonstration, Beijing launched an all-out persecution against the faith, seeking to eradicate the 100 million people practicing.
I said, this is a Buddhist revival movement. I don't see that as this massive threat. So there was something else going on.
Those practicing Falun Gong inside China were fired from their jobs, kidnapped from their homes, and thrown in prison. But later, evidence of an even worse crime started to come out to light. The forced organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience while they're still alive. Those organs going on to supply China's lucrative organs match and transplant market.
The organ harvesting is the genocide aspect. This entire organ transplant system was built on the backs of Falun Gong. This is something that is going to hit every group. It's going to hit the Tibetans. It's just a question of getting the right hospitals set up in their region. If there had not been the Ukraine war, if October 7th hadn't happened, that bill would have gone through.
Watch our interview with investigative reporter and Nobel Peace Prize nominee Ethan Gutman this Saturday, April 27th on NTD's China in Focus. Tune in this Saturday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time to learn more. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. has seen evidence of China's attempts to influence the upcoming 2024 presidential race. He spoke about it in an interview Friday.
That any interference by China in our election is something that we're looking very carefully at and is totally unacceptable to us. Well, again, I'd have to look at the specific reports that you're referring to, but we have seen, generally speaking, evidence of attempts to influence and arguably interfere, and we want to make sure that that's cut off as quickly as possible.
Blinken said he repeated a message to Chinese leader Xi Jinping during their meeting on Friday. It's the same message President Biden gave Xi during their summit last November. Do not interfere in the 2024 U.S. presidential elections. Xi promised Biden his regime would not meddle. CNN reported that Blinken said there was concern China and other countries would use influence campaigns to play on social divisions inside the U.S. The Chinese regime has repeatedly denied interfering in U.S. elections. But actors believed to be connected to the regime have been accused of political interference in other countries like Canada. Secretary Blinken is in China this week. So far, he says he raised issues tied to trade and human rights. He also called on China to step up its crackdown on fentanyl. Over a quarter of a million Americans have died from fentanyl overdoses since 2018. Most of the deadly drug's precursors come from China. He also called on China to provide U.S. businesses with a level playing field. U.S. officials have long been concerned that China's state subsidies and intellectual property theft are putting U.S. companies at a disadvantage. Blinken also called out China for helping Russia's war on Ukraine.
China's the top supplier of machine tools, microelectronics, nitrocellulose, which is critical to making munitions and rocket propellants, and other dual-use items that Moscow is using to ramp up its defense industrial base. A defense industrial base that is churning out rockets, drones, tanks, and other weapons that President Putin is using to invade a sovereign country, to demolish its power grid and other civilian infrastructure, to kill innocent children, women, and men.
During Blinken's China visit, the U.S. passed a $95 billion foreign aid package. Under it, TikTok must cut ties with its Chinese parent company or face removal from U.S. app stores. Plus, over $8 billion in aid will go towards shoring up defense in the Indo-Pacific region, including Taiwan. Blinken met with his counterpart Wang Yi earlier in the day Friday. Wang warned the U.S. is facing a choice between stability and what he called a downward spiral. He presented two options, cooperation or confrontation. He also claimed the U.S. is trying to suppress China's economy and trade, as well as its scientific and technological development. What's more, Wang accused the U.S. of overhyping concerns about China's manufacturing surplus, which the West accuses of flooding global markets. The Chinese regime passed a new tariff law Friday meant to retaliate against any actions it might face. An update on a no-limits partnership. Russian President Vladimir Putin said Thursday he plans to visit China in May. It would become the Russian leader's first foreign trip since he extended his rule for six more years. Putin announced the plan during a Congress of the Russian Union of Industrialists and Entrepreneurs in Moscow. He didn't say when it would take place. The Russian leader's inauguration is scheduled for May 7th. Russia's growing economic and diplomatic isolation has made it increasingly reliant on China due to its war against Ukraine. Media outlets reported last week, citing unnamed U.S. officials, that Beijing has boosted sales of machine tools, microelectronics, and other technology to Russia. Moscow is repeatedly using the equipment to produce missiles, tanks, aircraft, and other weapons. The geopolitical stage is set for a whirlwind of strategic visits. Russia's Putin is planning a trip to China as China's Xi Jinping sets his sights on Europe. For a deep dive into the diplomatic maneuvers, plus Blinken's journey in China this week, we spoke to James Gorry, Epoch Times contributor and author of The China Crisis. James Gorry, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you back on the show.
Nice to be here, Tiffany. Thanks.
Now, Secretary of State Antony Blinken wrapped up his China trip by meeting with Chinese regime leader Xi Jinping. What do you see as the biggest takeaways from this trip?
Well, first, it's bad optics. In other words, you know, we have little Tony Blinken meeting Xi, and the U.S. is going there for asking for help, really. I mean, Xi had a lot of things to talk about, to ask Xi for. In other words, looking for China for help with the Russia-Ukraine war, looking to for China to ask Iran to back off in the Israeli-Hamas war, asking Xi to pull back or rein in North Korea and their missile dreams, asking China to stop IP theft and technology theft and dumping and all these other adversarial trade tactics. It's the U.S. asking for help in all these areas, and Xi's response is, well, we can be partners. I mean, that alone, that's China setting up the foundation for this relationship. Bad optics all around.
Expanding on that, we did just see in the U.S. Biden signed into law the bill that would force TikTok to either divest from its Chinese parent company or be banned in the U.S. Meanwhile, U.S. app stores, meanwhile, the Biden campaign is still on TikTok, and that is where about one-third of young Americans get their news. How do you see that fitting in when we talk about election interference?
TikTok is a data harvesting machine for CCP. I can see election interference there potentially in a variety of ways. But the irony is that's where, as you point out, a big chunk of Biden's constituency is. So, you know, it's all about appearance, really. If Biden was very serious and even capable of talking about these things face to face with Xi, he would be doing it. But he's not. It's just not a good look.
Well, zooming out a bit in terms of Xi Jinping, he's set to visit Europe. He's going to Paris and Budapest. Now, given the tensions we're seeing there between Europe and China, especially when it comes to the flood of cheap Chinese imports, especially electric vehicles, how do you see that trip playing out?
But as far as Europe is concerned, yeah, they're not afraid. They're saying, look, we're going to de-risk is the term. We're going to de-risk from China. We saw what China did to the U.S. industrial base. And hollowed it out for years and years and decades of technology theft and IP theft and all that kind of stuff. So Europe is saying, we're not going to have that. We're going to stop that and greatly diminish that. So Xi is going over there because he needs to.
Now, we are also seeing reports of China aiding Iran in terms of the war in the Middle East. How likely are we to see China stop aiding these parties?
I think it's unlikely. Why would they stop? Everything's going the way they want it to go, it looks like. So, and by the way, China is playing a huge role at the expense of the U.S. The U.S. is playing a lesser role. In fact, the U.S., with regard to Israel, is playing more of a restrictive role, and China is playing more of an enabler role with Iran.
James Ghauri, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
TikTok's Chinese parent company says it won't sell the social media platform as a U.S. ultimatum looms. On Thursday, ByteDance denied plans to sell after reports surfaced it was exploring the sale of TikTok's U.S. business. This is the first official response from the Beijing-based company on the issue since President Biden signed a bill that could lead to the app's nationwide removal from app stores. Under the current law, TikTok must find a new owner by mid-January 2025. But TikTok CEO said the company would fight the law. So far, a number of countries have banned officials from downloading TikTok onto their phones. The U.S. law is now one of the most sweeping measures taken so far. India banned TikTok entirely in 2020. Nothing off the table in U.S. response to China overcapacity. That's what Treasury Secretary Yellen told Reuters in Washington Thursday. Watch.
It's important that China recognize the concerns, begin to act to address it. But we don't want our industry wiped out in the meantime, so I wouldn't want to take anything off the table.
Yellen said China's actions in the sector aren't acceptable to the rest of the world, adding that Chinese officials acknowledged a problem with industrial overcapacity but have yet to address it. Yellen also pointed out that the issues threaten rival producers making similar goods across the U.S., Europe, and Japan, plus emerging markets like India and Mexico, and that the problems were, quote, discussed intensively with Chinese officials. That's during sidelines of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank spring meetings last week in Washington. She added that the problem will not be resolved in a day or a week. Next, turning to the situation in the South China Sea, naval troops from the U.S., France, and the Philippines just kicked off a joint drill there Thursday, aiming to bolster their collaborative combat abilities in the wake of Beijing's threats. The Philippines announced that the three navies would undergo a series of dynamic exercises over the next 5 days. That's in the face of China's increasing threats and aggression in the region. The U.S. and the Philippines are longtime allies. But why is France interested in the Indo-Pacific? The country's goods exchanges with nations in the Indo-Pacific make up more than a third of French trade. The French government has also long stated its desire to protect an open and peaceful Indo-Pacific as its main foreign strategy in the region. China claims almost the entire South China Sea as its own, despite a 2016 international court ruling that Beijing has no right to do so. China's claims overmap those of many other nations in the region, including the Philippines. This week's trilateral exercise is part of a three-week annual training between the U.S. and the Philippines. The island state is Washington's oldest ally in the Indo-Pacific. The two have sent over 17,000 of their troops to participate in the joint drills. Beijing planting more eyes in outer space. The U.S. space chief is warning spy satellites could give Beijing a leg up in a potential war with Taiwan. Here's more.
The head of U.S. Space Command warning China is moving at breathtaking speed in space.
Over the last 6 years, they have tripled the number of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance satellites on orbit. And they have used their space capabilities to improve the lethality, the precision, and the range of their terrestrial forces.
The concern is China could use these spy satellites to disrupt U.S. and allied forces operations during potential conflicts over Taiwan. These satellites allow China to peer into the Indo-Pacific and find the U.S. and allied forces' ships. Reports say Chinese satellites have even captured photos of U.S. aircraft carriers docked at a naval base in Virginia. Besides spying, officials warn China could also utilize space to better target Taiwan in a hot war. Beijing is developing new missile technology, and officials say launching missiles into space could allow it to strike assets beyond traditional range and would make China's weapons hard for radars to detect.
Coming up, two men accused of spying for China granted bail after a court appearance in London. Latest on the intriguing case. A group of GOP lawmakers urging the White House not to sign onto what's being called a pandemic treaty spearheaded by the WHO. A congressman tells us the treaty could have huge implications for U.S. sovereignty. And the European Union passing an urgent resolution calling on Hong Kong to release a European citizen. More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Two British suspects accused of spying for China have been granted bail. They first appeared in a London court on Friday. The two are charged with providing information to China between 2021 and 2023. One of them is Christopher Cash, a researcher for the UK Parliament. He's worked with renowned lawmakers, including Alicia Kearns, who now heads the powerful Foreign Affairs Committee. The other is Christopher Barry. Reports say he's an academic. They were charged Monday, the same day Germany arrested three people, also accused of spying for China. This comes right ahead of Chinese leader Xi Jinping's visit to Europe in May. The British suspects did not enter pleas. For now, they're not allowed to travel outside the UK or contact each other. They are set to appear for a preliminary hearing in early May. Members of Congress saying America's sovereignty is at stake. Speaking to NTD, several Republican lawmakers explained they are urging the White House not to sign onto what's being called a pandemic treaty spearheaded by the World Health Organization.
The decisions for the American people will be made by this world organization who has their ties to communist China.
Why are American taxpayer dollars going to fund these international organizations that are against us and against our sovereignty? It's mind-boggling.
You never turn your sovereignty over or those choices on healthcare to anybody else but people within your own country that are determining and part of the solution process.
Lawmakers said the treaty is designed to bolster the WHO at the cost of U.S. taxpayers. The measure has been on the table for months, but negotiations are still going on. Over the last few years, the WHO has faced criticism over its handling of COVID-19, particularly China's influence within the bloc. Western officials have long voiced concerns over the virus's origin, which many suggest came from a Chinese lab. China has largely blocked international probes into the virus origin. Diving deeper, NTD Steve Land spoke with Congressman Matt Rosendale about the World Health Organization's ties to communist China and the so-called Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. Watch.
Congressman Matt Rosendale, thank you so much for joining.
Great to be here today.
Congressman, I want to get your thoughts on this WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. There's been a lot of different mixed messages about it. You're speaking out and warning against it. Tell us why.
But basically, what we're trying to do is make sure everyone is aware that the United States, and certainly the United States Congress, should not be compromising our sovereignty, turning our sovereignty over to any entity, any organization outside of the United States government. There's a lot of provisions that are contained within this agreement that the Senate needs to review. As far as I'm concerned, the Senate should reject this document. It turns over the management of our health care. It turns over the manufacturing distribution of medical supplies to WHO. It turns over the redistribution of financial aid to WHO. And there is no way in the world that I certainly would support anything like this. And the people across the state of Montana, and I believe across the nation, would reject all these concepts as well.
Congressman, what do you think were some of the biggest failures of the WHO, both during the pandemic and subsequently?
Oh, I think that the problem that they have is their close ties to China. We have seen that China is funding a lot of the WHO, and they have demonstrated that they have this clear bias towards protecting China, their desire to hide the facts of what actually took place during the COVID-19 crisis, how the virus originated, and now to allow them to direct so much of the agenda moving forward is quite problematic.
Congressman Matt Rosendale, thank you.
Thank you.
An urgent resolution passed the European Union Thursday. It urges Hong Kong authorities to release a European national. Joseph John is the president of the now defunct Hong Kong Independence Party. Hong Kong authorities arrested him 2 years ago, accusing him of demonizing the Chinese regime. The EU is also calling on Hong Kong to free pro-democracy activists, including Jimmy Lai, the founder of the also-defunct newspaper Apple Daily. What's more, the resolution calls for sanctions on Hong Kong's chief executive, John Lee, and condemned a new law in Hong Kong. The rule gives authorities more power to quash dissent and allows them to dole out life sentences over vague political charges like treason. That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocusntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you soon.